Welcome to Prosecco and Prose, episode 33.
This week's Prosecco is Conti Priuli Prosecco Rosé.
This week's prose is One True Loves by Taylor Jenkins Reid. Thank you for joining us for an episode of Prosecco and Prose. I'm Amy.
And I'm Wendy. We're a deep dive virtual book club
that's kind of like a quiz-free lit class you never knew you needed.
So let's
pop a cork for this week's episode of Prosecco and Prose.
For those who are listening in the car, please don't drink and drive.
Save the bubbly for later.
I just loved this week's prose pick.
Oh my gosh, loved it. Definitely pulled at the heartstrings.
Did it ever. And we're only on our third love story of the season. Might need a bigger box of tissues.
Good possibility of that. But I find a glass of Prosecco does wonders for the spirit, especially ones as pretty as this Conti Priuli Prosecco Rosé. Just love how that rolls off my tongue.
It is very pretty and spirit lifting. I love the label and the color. It just looks yummy.
Oh, and I cannot wait to try it. Now, it's gold and pink label. I mean, it just really brings out the color.
Yeah, it does.
A real clear, like, cooked salmon color. I mean, does that make sense?
To me, it does, but, you know. I mean, it's kind of like this corally pink color, but you can see through it.
Yes,
the clear part.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. I love the gold accents on the label. They kind of look rose gold, don't you think?
Maybe that's just emblematic of this Prosecco. The liquid rose gold.
It might be. Let's get the basics so we can start tasting and see for ourselves. So it's a DOC extra dry, which is right in the middle of the sweetness levels, 11%. And this one was a Trader Joe's bargain at $6.99.
Right at our price point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can just already tell this is going to be good.
Well, it's hitting all our boxes. Now, I saw online that it can sell for $16 in Ireland or England.
What?
Definitely feel like we're getting a deal after reading that.
And Vivino rates it at a 3.8. But, you know, I love a good deal.
I mean, we both do, right?
Right.
Especially when it comes to Prosecco.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you want to read the label for us since you have it, or just hold it up and I can probably read it from here since my arms seem to be getting too short.
Or you could just wear glasses like normal people.
Well, I do, but I don't have them today. So help a friend out. What info have you got?
Excuses. Okay, let's see. Okay. Fine expression of light cherry strawberry citrus aromas. On the palate, it offers great depth with notes of red berry, peach, spice, and fine bubbles.
You're asking me if I can read it?
Yeah, bubbles, but spice, that was just interesting.
That is interesting.
And it says, suitable for any occasion, pair with puff pastry, risotto, shellfish, and quiche.
Well, I think a podcast discussing love stories is a suitable occasion.
Oh, it's a given. This sounds really good.
It does. I'm very curious about this spice
note. Oh, me too.
Wonder if we'll be able to pick that up.
They've certainly given us a lot to look for.
They have.
It did have a very strong mousse on the pour, but it really dissipated immediately after I poured it.
Yep.
I'm just left with this like thin sliver of mousse at the top.
There's definitely a lot of bubbles. Lots of Prelati in the glass. But, you know, they're bigger than I expected with a description of fine bubbles, don't you think?
Tons of bubbles. And I also have several, like, spirals in my glass. I mean, it's just simply gorgeous. Now, if I had a dirty mind, I'd say...
You do have a dirty mind. So I'm stopping you right there.
Huh. Says the girl who brought up a handy last episode.
Touche. Nose.
What about my nose? Do I booger?
The Prosecco, you infant.
Jeez, rude. I mean, it's like squirrels today, and it's usually me being squirrely.
You are squirrely.
Okay, so nose. We're talking smell.
The aroma.
Oh, I thought you said I had like a booger hanging on my nose. Come
on. No, this is not that.
I get the infant now. That ties in.
Yes.
Okay, let me see.
What aroma are you getting from this beautiful rosé?
Well, you know, I'm not getting any cherry.
No, I wanted to know what you are getting.
Well, I can smell the strawberry, definitely. I mean, this one's a bit like our last one. It's a bit on the hard to catch, you know, a distinct aroma.
I agree.
Wow.
Nothing really jumps out, but I'm kind of in love right now because I'm getting a hint of strawberry as well, but there's a little bit of yeast I can smell.
Really?
And it's very, very light on the nose. I know they didn't say anything about yeast, but I just got a subtle bread smell.
I do not smell bread. Maybe okay. That's your breath. So I'm not getting bread yeast, but you know, I'm getting some citrus though. Can you smell that? Let me see.
You get citrus? I'm really not getting any citrus notes at all.
It's really, really faint. But it's like, you know, kind of like the rind of an orange or maybe even a grapefruit. Grandma Sue had grapefruits in her yard before they tore that tree down. And
so a little bitter?
Yeah. To the nose? Bitter maybe. But I'm ready to taste.
I'm already ahead of you while you were over there sniffing away.
I saw you.
It's quite fizzy in the mouth.
I mean, it's all those bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take a lot of little sips with this or you're going to get burpy.
How good of you to put out that warning.
Well, I do what I can. Definitely I can taste the strawberry though. You?
Oh yeah, but it's kind of like an unripe strawberry and I get some cherry. This is kind of interesting because I would describe this as feeling even kind of thick in the mouth. I don't really
know. No, I totally get it. I mean, it almost leaves a film on the top of your mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, my initial take is that it's not bad, but it's different. I mean, it's definitely different from the rosés we've had so far this season.
It is. But on first taste, I like it. It's good.
It's definitely swillable so far.
I have a feeling it'll probably be swillable to the bottom of the bottle, Amy.
I'm not going to jump the gun. You know, there are people basing their Prosecco buying on our honest review. So I just really want to hold back. I don't want to steer them wrong.
Definitely don't want to do that. I wouldn't mind steering anybody listening into giving us a rating and review, though.
Oh, we'd appreciate that, especially the ones that show up on Apple and now Spotify. Did you see that?
I did see.
Yeah, you guys can rate and review us on Spotify now, too. It was always just Apple, right? But we've also added this, it's called Buy Me a Coffee link that shows up on our episode description for those who'd like to support our creativity with some spare change.
I thought you said it was Buy Me a Book.
Well, that's what it says when you hit the link, when you open it up. But Buy Me a Coffee is the name of the company that helps listeners support independent podcasters.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, I wish there was this company that was called Buy Me a Bottle of Prosecco.
Don't we all? But we'd really appreciate your support in any way you choose.
TIA. Do you know what that means?
No.
Thanks in advance.
Oh.
So let's talk about our author, Miss Taylor Jenkins Reid.
You can probably tell I never did very good at when words were spelled.
Whatever.
Right? Ms. Reid is a New York Times bestselling author of 7 novels. Her novel, Daisy Jones and the Six, is being adapted into a limited series for Amazon. And this novel, One True Loves, is being adapted into a film with an expected release date sometime this year.
Oh, great.
Yeah. She actually began her career in film production, so it's kind of a bit full circle for her.
Reid says she took a lot, and I mean a lot of zigzags on her journey in becoming an author. She loved to write, but wasn't sure she could make a living from it. So she just wrote in her spare time, kind of like us, right? So Jennifer Aniston, who she is a huge fan of, actually inspired her to really pursue her writing dreams.
Really?
Crazy, I know. So there's this fantastic article in Glamour magazine. I'll link it in the show notes for anyone interested in reading it in full. So in the article, TJR, and I'm going to say TJR because Taylor Jenkins Reid, it just kind of doesn't fall off my tongue like it should.
I know, we can't let you get tongue-tied. Continue.
So TJR, she talks about when she was working as a casting assistant and got to meet Miss Aniston. Of course, before the big day, she tells all her friends.
Yeah, duh.
I know. And of course, she knows they all want a play-by-play, wouldn't you?
Yes, like all the lowdown.
Right, like leave nothing out.
No. Not a minute, not a breath.
Right. So at the end of the day, she realized there were too many people that she'd have to share with. So she wrote her story all down immediately from beginning to end. She said the words just kind of poured out of her.
Okay. Kind of like that.
Her friends loved this little story, little essay or whatever it was, and told her she should become a writer. And it just clicked. Her new dream, as she says in the article. But she says you don't need to meet a celebrity to discover what you want to do.
No, you could just meet someone over dirty tacos at a Mexican restaurant.
Like we did.
Like we did.
You just kind of have to pay attention to your joy.
Yes, margaritas and Prosecco. But I have to say, that's pretty amazing.
Now she's been writing full time since 2012. I mean, that's 10 years, right?
Yeah, and 7 books in 10 years. Ah. That's pretty impressive.
So One True Loves is her 4th book, published in 2016. I've also read Malibu Rising, her most recent book.
What'd you think of it?
Well, I mean, I liked it. Didn't actually love it like most people do. I mean, which is unusual.
Yeah, the reviews seem like people love it.
Oh, they do. But I think One True Loves is a better fit for what I like in reading a story like this. Malibu Rising was a family drama, and it, you know, it just didn't have the depth of some of the stories you and I have discussed.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, it was a great story, but I just loved One True Loves better. It's just my preference.
Well, contemporary romance is quite a bit different than a lot of what we've been reading, like
right.
Especially for last season.
Exactly.
Romance in general is really not something I typically pick up, actually, but I do enjoy it. This season is getting us to branch out a bit.
Oh, it really is. And I'm liking it. I just kind of think there's a stigma with romance. Everybody thinks it's just this sex stuff, and it's not.
And it can be all of that. And who cares if you do like that
right.
or if you prefer this or something different? Just read a book.
Right. Now, have you read any of her other books?
I read Maybe in Another Life. That was actually my first read by her, and I really enjoyed it. I liked reading the parallel stories. You know, the what if I'd done this instead of that. And the story takes that approach. So you have the main character and you see how this main character's life would be the same and different, pivoted off of this one choice in her life. So does she choose to stay in this place or does she choose to leave with this person? And it was really interesting. It was a really fun read for me.
Man, that sounds intriguing. Did you like it more or did you like it less than One True Loves? Just wondering.
It's kind of hard to say because I think I like them equally, honestly. They were just both really good. She has a good writing style.
Yeah. Well, I've added all of her books to my stack.
Of course you have.
Maybe I'll start with that one first since, you know,
yeah,
you said it was so good.
I loved it.
But hey, friends, if you want someone to help you with all of TJR's books, check out the Book Broads podcast.
Yes.
Alex and Bailey, the Book Broads. I love that name.
I know.
The Book Broads. They just did this, it's not recent, I don't even remember when it was, but they did this episode, and it was entitled, We Read Every Book by Taylor Jenkins Reid. So I'll read their episode description here. Let me see, I wrote it down. Okay, it says, in our most exciting episode yet, we discuss every single book ever written by Taylor Jenkins Reid, as well as share our definitive rankings of her complete work.
It was a very fun episode. Loved listening to their discussion. They have a really fun dynamic.
Oh, kind of like us.
Yeah, of course.
I love the discussion, though, on who was for Team Jesse and who was for Team Sam. They both started on Team Jesse, but then ended up with Sam. Who are you rooting for?
I was definitely Team Sam. He just seemed like a better match. And I didn't dislike Jesse, but I didn't really like him and Emma together. You?
Totally Team Sam. I mean, I didn't think Jesse fit her either. And I agree with the Book Broads. Jesse got a tad annoying. He did to me, definitely.
Well, I mean, he has been alone for years, right?
Right.
Well, Jesse felt like a match for a moment in her life.
Exactly.
But not her forever match.
Totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in their rankings of Reid's books, they both put The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo as number one. So, you know, we might have to check that out.
We might. It gets amazing reviews, but I read an excerpt of it and it just didn't pull me in. So I'm really on the fence, leaning towards the not read side of the fence.
Really? I mean, that really surprises me. I mean, it sounds good.
Yeah.
As I said, all of her books are on my TBR stack and I have you to thank for that.
Me?
Yes. You introduced me to her books. Don't you remember?
Briefly recall, but hey, good for me. The Book Broads do have me a bit more interested in putting it in my stack, though. If you read it first, though, let me know if I should.
Will do. So One True Loves wasn't one of their favorites.
I know.
Alex gave it third place in her overall ranking, and I'm guessing Bailey, I think she must have put it in fifth place.
Yeah.
Because she didn't actually rank it on the podcast.
No, and she didn't.
I was trying to figure that out. I mean, so I don't know if that means it's a good or bad sign, but she did rank her bottom three and her top four. So I think that it left that in fifth place.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't make sense because she only did 7 novels, but...
Right, but on the podcast, so Taylor Jenkins Reid has a short story.
That's
and they,
right.
And they ranked the short story, but it's a short story. It's not considered one of the novel.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, they both said they really liked it.
It probably just slipped their mind.
Look at me getting into the weeds again.
I know.
I said I wasn't going to do that this podcast. Sorry.
Well, you just did some math and you were like, wait a minute. Probably just slipped your mind. Definitely happens, right?
Well, I should know. As of late, everything slips my mind. But check out the Book Broads podcast. They're a lot of fun. Let's give a quick summary.
Okay. So there's going to be spoilers.
Wait. Sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you.
You did, actually, but go ahead.
I know. I have to give the first line of this book. I mean, it is so good.
Yes, it is.
I'm kind of rude. Guys, I have to apologize to you. I should never cut her off like that. I've done that.
I cut you off earlier, so please continue.
I didn't take my medicine today. Anyway, let me read the first line of the story.
This first line is actually why I read the book.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. I am finishing up dinner with my family and my fiance when my husband calls.
Yeah.
Oh my God. How can you not want to read that? Guys, now you see why I just like cut her off. I'm so excited about this book.
Well, this is why. I mean, it definitely is a pull you an opening line. Did I not tell you needed to read this book?
Now we're going to give spoilers. So listeners, if you need to read the book after that fantastic opening line, and hate spoilers, you might want to stop your 8-track right now and come back to us a little bit later.
What's an 8-track?
Where you it's like a music machine and you put the tape thing in.
A music machine?
Boom, boom, boom. I'll give you anyway.
You're not that much older than me. I think I was just not allowed.
You were stuck with your books inside your books.
I think I was. Anyhow, Emma and Jesse are high school sweethearts. They both dream of getting out of their small town and seeing the world.
Which they do, right?
Mm-hmm.
They marry in their 20s, and on the eve of their first wedding anniversary, Jesse goes missing in a helicopter accident and is presumed dead. Emma moves back home and slowly puts her life back together. She reconnects with an old friend, Sam, and begins to fall in love.
Until, as you heard that opening line, her husband calls. Jesse is alive. He's been trying all these years to just get back to Emma. Now, Emma has a fiancé and a husband.
And a decision to make that will leave someone inevitably hurt.
Emma has changed, and Jesse has too. They still love each other, but has their love changed as well? I just loved how Reid fleshed out both of these relationships. You know, Emma, Jesse, Emma, Sam, mm-hmm. right? You could really feel how difficult this decision was for Emma to make.
Oh, I agree. You so could. Now, this story took place in Acton, Massachusetts, which is where Reid spent some of her time growing up from age 12 to 18.
Right. There was a Q&A in the back of the book where she talks about that.
Yes. So her grandmother lived there her entire life and was she was a pretty big influence on Reid's life. Mm-hmm. She set the book in Acton as a way to honor her grandmother and a way to show her appreciation for the town she so loves.
Right. In the bookstore, Blair Books, which Emma's family owns and works at, and she eventually comes to run,
mm-hmm.
is based on Willow Books in Acton. And Reid had a pretty funny memory she shared about it, didn't she?
She did. She and her friend at 14, mind you, remember the age 14, had gone to see the Vagina Monologues. They went to Boston and absolutely fell in love with it. They wanted to get the book, so they walked their little happy tails into Willow Books.
Willow Books agreed to order a copy of the book for them, but when the book came in and the store left a message...
On the answering machine!
Right, yes. But the lady was not comfortable saying vagina, so after a couple of awkward pauses and attempts, she simply said, "The book you ordered is here." That just cracked me up. And it's something I could totally see happening in my own town if they had a bookstore. But I could totally see it.
Well, you know, I would have just whispered, hey, Taylor Jenkins Reid, or hey, Taylor, whoever you are, your vagina book is in. It's discreetly wrapped behind the counter.
You would do that.
Well, Reid also answered the question of what true love means to her, and what about this did she want to explore in the book?
Oh, I loved her response.
Oh, I did too. She said, "My main goal was to put forth the idea that just because a relationship ends, it doesn't mean that it has failed.
Right.
I don't think that true love means lasting love. If you remove that requirement and you start looking at the people you have loved in the past, you start to ask yourself, did I love that person with all my heart? Did they change me for the better? Was I good to them? Am I glad it happened? And if that's the case, I think we should all call that relationship a success.
I liked that because...
I did too.
It's
so real.
It's so real, and not everything has to be a failure just because it's not happening now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also because I don't think Emma and Jesse's relationship was a failure. And I've definitely met couples who are no longer together, and I wouldn't call their relationship a failure. It's like when we were talking Team Jesse or Sam. Jesse fits a particular moment in Emma's life, and so does Sam. It doesn't make one relationship better or worse than the other.
They're just different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and Emma is really just, she's two different people in each relationship. People change, people evolve.
Exactly. And I think this is a great segue into our romance tropes.
So let's start with the obvious, the big one.
Mm-hmm.
The love triangle of Jesse, Emma, Sam. It's really, I mean, it's really central to our plot. It is the story. I mean, it really was for me. I also put them in that order because Reed, through Emma, emotionally invested me in this plot of hers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was emotionally torn until the end on who she picks, who she should pick, and what might happen to any one of them if she picks the wrong person.
Right.
Yeah.
Me too. It was just, it was a lot of emotions in that one. But I don't know, I kind of feel like the triangle started in high school with Sam, Emma, Jesse.
Okay.
I mean, Sam definitely tried to ask her out before Jesse.
Yes. Yes, yeah. He did. In a kind of an awkward way, though, right?
I know, but he's so cute.
But Emma rejected him because her older sister liked him. She thought he was just so adorable.
Which he was. But yeah, Emma just could not like something her sister liked. You know, we both have sisters. You have one younger. I have two, both younger. And I'm not sure it was the same for you, but I know there was a period of time for me that I wanted to be as different from them as I could be. If they liked it, you can be sure I didn't. And now I'm not so sure whether that was more to annoy them or my parents. I mean, why do we want to get under our parents or our siblings' skin so much?
Well, for me at the time, it was like the art of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd also say, I mean, because my sister, she's 9 years younger.
Yeah.
She's 9 years younger than mm-hmm. me. So she was a baby when I was
mine are only 2.5 and 5.
Kissing boys.
Yeah.
At 9, you know. But I have to say.
Wait, you weren't kissing boys at 9.
They were kissing me.
Anyways.
But I'd also say it might have to do a bit with like nature.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe it's just what we do. But I do know siblings who have never really dealt with that.
You're right. I do as well. And I'm just glad we're past that because I love spending time with my siblings now.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah. Anyway, definitely the love triangle is one of the most common romance tropes. And it's huge in this story, right?
Yes.
I just loved Reed's take on it because it definitely did not feel old or common.
Oh, I so completely agree.
I like when you agree with me. Mm. But anyhow, another one I think we could say is shared pasts. For both of the guys, but in two very different ways. For Sam and Emma, they worked together at the bookstore in high school.
Right.
So when she comes back, they have that connection. And for Jesse, I mean, well, they were married, and he definitely wants her back when he returns.
I can see that. I mean, think you can also say friends to lovers for Sam and Emma.
Oh, yeah.
They were friends way back in high school, and then they reconnected as friends when Emma returned to Acton after Jesse's crash.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their friendship was gently pushed into romance by Emma's parents and her sister,
mm-hmm.
encouraging, you know, they really encouraged her to move on.
Right.
I really felt like Reed portrayed these feelings in such an honest and just real way, you know, and we, the reader, feel these feelings ourselves while reading the book.
Oh boy, do we ever. Yeah, definitely agree with that. Now, this is kind of a stretch, but I also felt there was a bit of a second chance trope here. Just hear me out. I know Sam and Emma never really dated before, but he did feel something for her, and I think she felt a bit for him as well.
You know, I think so, but, you know, she really just kind of refused to pursue it. Like I said before, can't like something her sister likes, right?
Correct. No, can't do that. So Sam has this second opportunity to be with Emma. He even tells her that he doesn't want to lose her again, or it was something to that effect, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
He's willing to really put himself out there this time in a way he wasn't in high school because he can't risk not taking the chance to see if they have something real.
You know, that's a really good point. I think you have an argument for second chance.
Good, because I just made it.
You sure did. And it's not such a stretch.
Okay.
You know, Jesse coming back is also a second chance.
Oh.
Like, Emma has fallen in love with Sam, right? Mm-hmm. And then Jesse comes back and he wants her back.
He does.
He wants a second chance for them to be together.
Your argument might be better than mine.
No, just this time. But, you know, I have one more. How about return from the dead?
Oh, my gosh. How did I not even think of it? Of course, I didn't even think of that.
Well, I mean, the love triangle is so obvious and so central. I mean, yeah. It's easy to focus on.
Right.
But return from the dead just really stood out to me, especially with our husband's line of work. You know, helicopter crashes are very real and a very well-known situation for us, especially in Army aviation.
Very true.
Our husband's trained for survival, right? Mm-hmm. Concur? And all the elements for hope and survival were in this story.
They were.
And they were so believable.
Very.
At least from my perspective. I mean, she did a great job. She did her research.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I felt this was very believable.
Return from the dead can be a fake death or a misreported death, as we have here. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a shock for Emma, right?
I mean, she
finally accepted Jesse. The love of her life is gone. She moves on. Even starts to love again, and then ring-a-ding-ding, hey, it's me, Jesse. What's up? I mean, I just can't even imagine.
I couldn't either.
And I like would pass out.
Oh, for sure. Definitely, if I hadn't, the old proverbial knock me over with a feather would have happened.
Right.
And it's like you said, Reed handles it in such a believable way, and you really get in emotionally with these characters. You don't want any of them to get hurt.
Oh, you really don't. And you know me, I couldn't help but wonder if maybe Reed is giving us maybe a life metaphor.
Okay.
Just makes you think about your past self. I mean, maybe we've all had past loves. I mean, someone we thought was our one true love, but then, you know, that relationship dies, like Jesse did. So we can and do move on to our next relationship. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, that's a thought. And she did say, I read this somewhere and hopefully I've remembered this correctly, but that often her stories arise out of a question she has. And so she explores it.
You know, I just saw so many parallels to my own first love and then my true love now, Josh, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just fascinating how we evolve. And, you know, we got to see that in Emma.
It's very fascinating. I'm not a big lover, though, so, like, as Rufina likes to tell me, I don't love people.
Oh, I think you do.
No, I am very closed off. I really am closed off. So that's why, I mean, I don't know. Like, yeah, we could have other loves and stuff. Did you know, though, that this book and its ending was one of the hardest ones for Reed to write?
I can see why it would be. I mean, the choice Emma has to make. What'd she say?
Well, she had an original vision for the characters that didn't work. And it took her a really long time to see it in another way. It makes me wonder, did she have her go back to Jesse?
Wow.
Because that would be different. And I really wouldn't want it to end any other way. I did find myself thinking what might have happened if Emma had made a different choice. Like, what if she chose neither?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, it's only human to wonder, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if Emma had made a different choice, I think it might have spoiled the story for me.
Hmm.
But then Reed does have a way with words. She probably would have convinced me it was the right choice for Emma in the end.
I think she would have, right? Let's talk pillar one from Oliver Fox's article, The Four Pillars of Romance, on the Writer's Write blog. The couple, lover and beloved. Amy linked that again for us this episode.
Oh, yes, I did. It's in the show notes. So Emma is our beloved in every situation, and Jesse and Sam are the lovers.
Agree. Sam pursued Emma in high school and then pursued her when she returned to Acton.
Emma kind of pursued Jesse, though, in high school.
That would make her the lover.
Yeah, but they weren't really in the same circles, but she did have a crush on him.
Yeah, I don't know if I can say Emma really pursued Jesse per se, like in those words. Yes.
Maybe in her mind she did.
Yeah. I mean, she was crushing
on him. She was. She was. Like you said.
And they weren't really in the same circles. And then they just kind of ended up together.
Yeah. I mean, we don't get the big story, but we don't need it.
Right.
To make the story work.
No. I mean, they might not have ever ended up together if they hadn't ended up getting arrested together at the party.
Oh, right. Maybe so. Mm-hmm. But they did end up together, and they ended up very much in love. Mm. Our first couple of the triangle.
Yes, they are.
Hey, let me top off your glass.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, here we go. You know, this dark chocolate really brings out the strawberry and the Prosecco. I opened you up a thing over there. You want to just take off a...
Got one?
So, I mean, I think it's probably better to nibble on something with this Prosecco. What do you think?
Let me try it. Mmm. You're right.
Isn't that good?
You're right, actually.
Like that?
Yeah. The dark chocolate. I mean, it's been this way for everyone so far. It cuts the tartness for this particular Prosecco. It cuts the tartness and the stickiness. You know, I'm getting a little raspberry now, too. I don't know if the chocolate brought that out or not. But the Prosecco overall sort of has this, I don't know, it's kind of hard to describe, but this heavy stickiness to it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, it does.
I don't taste honey. It's not sweet. It's like a sticky tart, not sticky sweet like the song. I don't know if that makes any sense at all.
Oh, no, I can see that.
I kind of feel like I'm doing what this dog I used to have did. Rocky would do this thing with his tongue, like he was trying to taste something or get something off of his tongue. I don't know. It's really weird. It's just kind of like that for me. I don't know how to describe it.
I think you just did. So you taste Prosecco like a dog. This is so new.
No. Well, I just feel like I'm doing the same thing with my tongue that my dog would do.
As long as you don't start lapping it up like a dog.
Well, with these glasses, I really could.
I'm just teasing you. But someone's got to keep you in check. So let's talk pillar two. I'm ready to move on. The obstacles. Rivals, taboos, and loved ones. Oh, my.
I think we can skip taboos this time. I don't think there were any taboos that I would call an obstacle that would for this story. Do you?
No, I don't either. But maybe loved ones was a small obstacle because if you remember, Jesse's family did initially look down on Emma because they, you know, they felt she was the reason he didn't pursue a professional life as a swimmer. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. I do. They were not exactly thrilled when he told them he didn't, sorry, I was, you know, having chocolate and Prosecco, but he didn't really, when he told them he didn't really enjoy swimming and didn't want to do it anymore.
Well, we didn't see Jesse's parents much in the story, but they came across as extremely intrusive to me. I mean, especially for boy parents. Usually, I mean, me, I'm a boy parent, mm-hmm. and I try to stay outside.
I'm not a parent. I just stay out.
I don't want to intrude in my son's relationship at all. But I mean, it was, for me, it was really the antithesis of Emma's family.
Well, maybe that was the intent a little bit. I mean, after all, Emma doesn't end up with Jesse. So why would the reader invest in his family when they won't be there in the end?
Yeah, good point. Good point. Now, we definitely have some other obstacles. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesse's obstacle is to just survive. He's got to survive so he can make it back to Emma.
And then we have the rivals, right?
Right.
Jesse and Sam. Jesse is a rival for Sam way back in high school. And now Sam is a rival for Jesse when he returns.
And they're both such good guys and so good to Emma. I mean, you kind of wish they both could win.
It's a different kind of marriage, but go ahead.
Right. I don't think in all my reading I have ever fell in love with a character more than I did with Sam. I mean, he was so patient. Sam was kind. Sam was loving. He was everything you want in a good book boyfriend.
He was pretty amazing. All right, let's go to pillar three.
As I'm in love with Sam and eating chocolate and Prosecco.
I mean, perfect pairing, right?
Right.
The romantic arc. We really do have the perfect pairing.
We
chocolate
do.
And Prosecco and love stories. Mm. So pillar three, the romantic arc, winning and losing and winning back again.
Right. The arc in this story, I have to say, was so well written.
Mm-hmm.
TJR has this gift And obviously, she has a good editor.
Mm-hmm.
So Emma and Jesse and Emma and Sam meet in high school. Both Jesse and Sam fall for Emma.
And while Sam does pursue Emma, it's very brief and he quickly backs off when Emma is hesitant. And really, she's kind of oblivious to his advances.
Yeah, she was. She was. And this made me think of another obstacle, actually.
Oh?
Well, you know, we mentioned Jesse's family, but Emma's family is kind of an obstacle for Sam.
What? No, they loved Sam.
Well, I agree. They love Sam. But Emma's sister does try to push Emma to Sam a bit. And because it's coming from her sister, Emma rejects it. You know, making her sister an obstacle to Emma and Sam's relationship way back in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. It didn't feel like there was much of a pursuit for Jesse, though, to move on. Like, Emma, you know, to look at the winning and losing, Emma fell quite quickly into Jesse's arms, him having been her crush for so long. Maybe Emma's the pursuer here.
You know, that could be. Maybe it's Emma who wins over Jesse, you know, since Jesse won Emma over way back in the day at the pool.
Yeah, they didn't even have to meet. And I'm kind of seeing it that way. But Emma and Jesse do grow closer over their shared goals of leaving Acton and, you know, leaving their parents' dreams for them, the things that their parents wanted them to do. And Jesse and Emma have a love of travel.
But then Emma loses Jesse. I mean, I see how Jesse is more likely the beloved and Emma the lover here for sure. But it really flip-flops when Jesse returns because he is definitely trying to win Emma back.
Yes, true. But I think lover and beloved are a bit fluid for Emma and Jesse. And they are both such different people when Jesse comes back that it's kind of natural it would change.
So Emma was Jesse's sole reason to stay alive and try to get back all those years. I mean, I'm not judging Emma, but she did have to keep living. I think love and being loved is part of living. And to her, Jesse was gone. But to Jesse, Emma was his whole hope.
Amy, that's so beautiful. Now I'm leading Team Jesse, and I'm so sad for him.
No. They're different people now. And, you know, Jesse's happy, remember? I mean, he told Emma he understood now.
That's right. He did. But just stop talking, because you're going to put me to a different team. Anyway, so Sam lost Emma to Jesse.
Right.
And then...
Yeah. It gets confusing.
Yeah. And then Emma comes back to Acton, right? And Sam starts to pursue her again.
I mean, I felt like there was a bit of mutual pursuing going on there. But, you know, Sam wins her over. Emma realizes that they have a lot of things they share. I mean, they grow closer and get engaged.
But Jesse comes back and Sam loses Emma again.
Well, I mean, he basically sent Emma back to Jesse.
I mean,
he didn't want Emma to choose him, Sam, because she felt it was, you know, what she, you know, she should do. Or because she didn't want to hurt him. He wanted Emma to choose him because she loved him. I mean, truly loved him.
Yeah, and I totally got his point. But honestly, I felt like my heart was in actual physical pain when I read that moment.
Oh, I did too. And, you know, I was irritated that he seemed to kowtow like he did in high school. But, you know, what really happens is TJR allows us to gain more respect for Sam.
Well, he so deserved that, don't you think?
He did. And Emma really did need that time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to gain that clarity. I was so happy, though, when Sam won back Emma's heart. That was, you know, the happily ever after I think we deserved.
And our characters deserved.
Right.
And Jesse does end up happy.
He
like
does.
Like you said. So it was a happily ever after for all. Let's wrap up with pillar 4, the lover's sacrifice.
So, starting with Emma, I mean, she sacrificed a promised future after losing Jesse. And though she's happy where she is now, she did sacrifice the life she had built away from Acton.
Yes, I agree. She is happy. But it was still, like you said, a sacrifice to give all that she worked for and loved in California up. It hadn't necessarily been a wrong goal. You know, as one of the reasons for not achieving, you know, your goal is. But it was right at the time. It just doesn't fit now.
No, it doesn't. Jesse sacrificed Emma. I mean, his goal could be considered the right goal at the time. But after spending time with Emma after his return, I mean, he could see things were different. And the reality is that it was the wrong goal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had to let Emma and himself move on, move forward.
Yeah, I could never say Jesse quit on his goal or that it wasn't important. It was, like you said, just no longer the right goal.
Now, Sam sacrificed when he pushed Emma to go to Jesse and figure things out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he knew they were strong enough to achieve their goal. He knew they had the right goal, and he knew it was important. He just needed Emma to see that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he briefly sacrificed his own happiness so Emma could truly find hers. And I'm so happy it was with him.
Me too. Well, I'd say TJR had all the elements of a really, really good romance story.
Oh, she sure did. A plus for sure. I just loved the story.
Loved it. Very good grade, teacher.
Mm.
Final thoughts on this Prosecco, this Conti Priuli?
You talked about a stickiness earlier, and you know, it is a bit heavy for a Prosecco to me. I mean, it's definitely better with food. I mean, I really love it. I mean, I love it with the dark chocolate.
Yeah, that was genius.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm tasting a little bit of the citrus now. I really am. I don't know if there's just something going on in my mouth, but I'm tasting the citrus.
Well, I think you are right. I prefer it with a little nibble of something as well, especially the chocolate.
So good.
I've also got a little bit of a floral smell now. I don't know if you're picking that up. And some orange. There's a hint of orange on the taste. I never got the spice, though. Did you?
No. You know, and I was looking for it, but I don't know. I think someone just pulled that out of their tail.
Someone's got better tasters than we.
Yeah.
Definitely no bubbles left, though, at all.
No. I mean, it looks like a Tranquillo Prosecco.
Or a Calmo.
Hmm.
Not sure what I would pair with this, though. What are you thinking? You're better at this.
I mean, I think you could drink this with... To me, like right now, I'm craving apple pie.
Okay.
Or maybe just like some apple slices and a piece of brie.
I think that might be yum.
Maybe even like, melted brie, just dip it.
Oh, dip it. Hmm. I would be curious to try it with a quiche, like the label said. Or you know what might go good with this?
What's that?
Maybe a caprese salad or sushi. You know, to cut on the stickiness, right?
That would be good. That would be good. So what's your rating?
I'm gonna give it a 3.6. It's not bad. It's a bargain. Maybe a bit heavy for a Prosecco for me, but I wouldn't turn it down.
Would I buy this again? Probably not, but I wouldn't turn it down if someone brought me a bottle. I mean, I'm gonna give it a 3.7.
That's a pretty good rating. And it's under $7, Amy. I probably would buy again.
You're right. I mean, I forgot what a bargain it is. I'd probably buy it again if I saw it, but just not in Ireland or England. I'm not paying $20 a bottle for it.
Right. We both love a bargain, meaning under $10.
That magic price point. Well, Wendy, I think that's a wrap.
I think so. We'll see you back in 2 weeks when we discuss The Hating Game by Sally Thorne, which we'll pair with Fascino Prosecco Rosé.
Cheers! Thanks again for joining us for an episode of Prosecco in Prose. To view the complete show notes for today's episode, visit www.proseccoinprose.com and follow the link to Buzzsprout.
Please follow or subscribe.
It's free wherever you listen, and you'll be the first to know when new episodes drop.
You can even show your support by rating and leaving us a review,
which helps other lit lovers discover our show.
Feel free to connect with us on our website or any of our social media. I'm Wendy.
And I'm Amy, signing off as our bottle of bubbly is now empty.
See you for the next episode. And in the meantime,
pop a cork and read.